nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are here for our public hearing on our proposed budget for the 2021 year. This is the public hearing regarding the 2021 proposed budget. In accordance with New York State Town Law, all fire districts must, prior to the adoption of their budget, hold a public hearing on their budget. This budget hearing must be held in such a manner to maximize participation in the budget process. That's why there's so many people here. The purpose of this hearing is to discuss the content of the budget. The Board of Fire Commissioners, in accordance with legal requirements, has adopted their proposed budget on the 21st day of September 2020, which is at least 21 days prior to this budget hearing. Since the East Glenville Fire District maintains a website, the proposed budget was posted on the website. And it was also put in at least 5 days before the hearing in the official newspaper of the fire district. I believe that it was. I'll take that out. It was in the official. We'll revise that. It was in the official newspaper of the fire district at least 5 days prior.
It was in the sign.
And it was on the sign.
And it was also in the bulletin that went to the citizens. The report, the annual report.
The notice of the public hearing specified the time and date, and when and the place where the public hearing was held. Upon its adoption, the fire district secretary also made available for inspection and copying the proposed budget to any interested person during district office hours. The purpose of this public hearing is to allow a member of the public to make comments. Any person may be heard in favor of or against the preliminary budget and any item in it. Please note that this is only a proposed budget until the Board of Fire Commissioners adopts the final budget. Prior to the public comment portion of this hearing, we will hear from the Fire District Treasurer, who will make a brief presentation about the preliminary budget to the Board of Fire Commissioners and the members of the public who are present. Okay. The Fire District Treasurer will be asked to submit a proposed budget to the Board of Fire Commissioners and members of the public who are at this hearing. The budget must be adopted no later than November 4th and submitted to the Town Budget Officer by November 7th. Okay, this is going to be the time period where the Treasurer will present the proposed budget. He will make a brief summary of the proposed budget, and the Treasurer will not answer any specific questions during this time, so as to make this not a question and answer session.
Since I see two of the members in attendance didn't bring their copy of the budget that was given to them last night.
I got mine.
Do we lose credit?
You have yours, Ross?
Mine's all over the kitchen table.
There is one available for anybody member of the public decides to show up. So.
Start by saying, may it please the board.
No. As treasurer of the East Glenville Fire District Number 3, I am happy to be presenting the proposed budget for 2021. This will be the third consecutive year with a $0 tax levy increase. Over the last 10 years, our tax levy has increased on average just over 1% because we had a couple of years where we had to increase it a little bit higher. We're going to be continuing to maintain an unrestricted fund balance within our 6-8% fund balance appropriation limits. That's our board's policy. That'll keep between $50,750 and $67,650 available for unforeseen and unanticipated issues that may arise during the year 2021. Concerns always seem to be raised regarding the fact that our building is 24 years old. Major replacements of items such as the air conditioning units, boilers, the new shingled roof that we have, the heating system, parking lot, windows, overhead doors, etc., they need to be properly funded. We've been setting aside money every year in a reserve account called the building reserve, which we fund annually through the adopted budget. Very transparent how much money we put into that every year. For 2021, we are planning to put $45,000 into that account. The reserve currently has $176,000 in it. However, expected expenditures for this account in the near term are going to be about $40,000 to replace two of the original air conditioning units and possibly up to $25,000 to improve the meeting room heating system controls in here to bring it up to proper standards. We've received quotes in the range of $95,000 to $115,000 to repave our parking lot. That's why we got to be maintaining levels in that reserve account at the levels that we are currently keeping it at. That way we are able to pay for these major betterments with cash and not be incurring debt and additional costs to the taxpayers. As was presented last night at the board meeting, there have been concerns regarding the operation of one of our oldest large fire engines. Our long-term replacement plan for the three major big trucks is 20-year replacement. So that vehicle is a 2008, scheduled to be replaced in 2028 per our plan. We also have a reserve fund called the Apparatus Reserve that we fund annually through our adopted budget in order to not need to incur debt when we're replacing these apparatus. Currently, this fund has about $1.1 million in it. In the near term, we're going to be spending roughly $143,000 to replace our first response EMS unit. Some people are concerned with the amount of money we have in that reserve account. In the event that this old fire engine continues to have issues, we may need to be replacing it prior to our scheduled date of 2028. We've been funding this reserve account in order to make sure that we have adequate funds available to replace apparatus for cash for the same reason that we're doing with the building reserve. Currently, earmarked for that old engine is roughly $311,000. Next year, we're going to be putting $45,000 of our appropriation into that line, which will give us roughly $356,000 earmarked for that oldest engine. And there's also going to be roughly $40,000 in that apparatus reserve that is not currently earmarked to any vehicle. So we roughly have $400,000 earmarked, potentially earmarked for that old engine in the event we have to replace it early. And then we would have to possibly tap some of the other apparatus if we needed to replace it early. I'm not saying we're going to have to. However, as was discussed last night at the board meeting, you know, it's been having some issues and maybe it may be needed to be replaced earlier than we planned. If we do have to replace it earlier with an expensive apparatus, that's going to put a little bit of strain on the apparatus reserve, and we will have to deal with that in future budgets. We're very fortunate where we live. We have a very large tax base. It provides this board to be able to properly fund the needed equipment, obviously this fire station, and allowable volunteer firefighter benefits, such as a length of service award program, without overburdening the people who live in this fire district, the residents. This will be the sixth straight year that the East Glenville Fire District will have the lowest fire tax rate in the entire town of Glenville. The long-term financial planning that's been adopted by the board are going to keep us at the lowest rate for years to come in the foreseeable future. Again, I'm happy to be presenting this budget. Everyone has the handout. Basically, the first two pages are the budget, and then the page 3, 4, and 5 represent the details of those individual lines. And then there's just some supporting information that explains and further discloses actual numbers, discusses our tax cap levy, saying how much money we would have been able to raise and stay within the New York State tax cap. We could have been levying $847,321 and stayed within the tax cap. However, with the way that we have been able to fund our budget and with proper, efficient, effective spending, there's no need for us to be increasing our taxes. It's a very sound budget. Fiscally sound, and again, contains no tax levy increase, which I think is very important given the current circumstances that many people are facing with financial difficulties due to the COVID pandemic. That is my brief presentation.
Thank you. The public comment period now begins. I will ask that any person present wishing to be heard on the proposed budget come forward to the podium so that person may be heard in favor of or against the proposed budget. This is not a time when the Board of Fire Commissioners can ask any questions. This is for the public comments only.
Come on, get up there and say, "This is great." That's what you're supposed to do.
and just to finish it off, public can ask questions, but the board and the treasurer will not answer any questions until the conclusion of the public comment period. Going once, going twice. The public did not make any comments on the budget because there was nobody. This is the conclusion of the public comment portion of the hearing. The public comment period of this annual budget hearing has now concluded. The members of the Fire Board of Commissioners are now allowed to ask questions, if any.
Question. Can we amend the budget for a 1% cost of living for our employees?
Yes, but not during the public hearing.
Okay, after that?
Yes. During the actual board meeting, we can.
Oh, I thought he said the public end was over. Okay, I'm sorry.
No. The public hearing is still
the public
going
hearing, ahead. The public comment section.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
You want me to put that in the meeting minutes that you asked that during this time period?
Absolutely.
I'm a citizen.
Yes.
The apparatus reserve for the estimated expenditures. The first column has 300,000, and then the last column has 250. That's because of the 40,000 we paid for.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Okay, estimated expenditures.
What page are you on?
Fourth one, I think.
Page four.
No, it's
number five. Estimated expenditures.
Yes.
I am on page five, supplemental detail of appropriations.
No, no one more.
Seven.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. In down under apparatus reserve,
mm-hmm.
The first column has 300,000.
Yes.
And then we get over to what is going to go toward the next budget. It's 260,000.
Right.
Is that because of the 40,000 we paid? Where we
had
paid for our new?
No. $300,000 was part of the long-term plan.
Mm-hmm.
And for the year 2020, it was going to go down because we were purchasing a new chief's vehicle. So it would have been $240,000 for the year of 2020. But I was also anticipating that we were going to sell apparatus while we were replacing apparatus. So we had a sale of apparatus of $20,000 of a revenue item, and I wanted that money to also go to the apparatus reserve. That's why the year of 2020 is 260.
Mm-hmm.
It started at 300, minus 60,000 because we were buying a new chief's vehicle, plus $20,000 for the anticipated revenues from the sales of the equipment.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at the year 2021, the 260 was going to be the same thing, where we were going to have $60,000 to purchase a vehicle. Okay, and then another $20,000 was going to be going in It was $250,000 was the scheduled amount. We were not planning on purchasing anything in 2021. The chief's vehicle was a 2020 item, and just again with the long term plan, it was going from 300,000 to 250 anyway. That's the way it was going to. It was 300. Then 2020 was going to be 300. We reduced it by 60,000 to buy a chief's vehicle. Increased it by 20,000 for the sales of the equipment, but the year 2021 in our long-term plan was scheduled to go down to 250,000.
Oh, okay.
The reason it's 260 is because, again, I anticipate that we're going to be selling the old 230. $10,000 is quite, I think, lofty as far as what I anticipate to get for it. But I wanted to make sure that whatever we sold that for, that money would be earmarked and go back into the apparatus reserve. So $250,000 immediately is going to go into the apparatus reserve, and then whatever proceeds we receive from the sale of the old 230 will then also be going into the apparatus reserve. That was all part of the regular plan. It was 300, 300, and then 250, 250, 250, 250, 250, 250, and probably 5 or 6 years down the road, it's scheduled to go down to 200. But again, it's going to depend on how the market actually goes. If we have to replace an engine earlier, then we're not going to be able to go down to 200 as quickly because we will have replaced it sooner than anticipated in our long-term plan. That's all.
Thank you.
How should I indicate that? So you're asking for information about the 250,000 versus 260,000 on the apparatus reserve budget versus budget versus budget worksheet?
Well, she was on the estimate of expenditures. Just so you understand, that estimate of revenues and estimate of expenditures sheets, those are the sheets that go to the town of Glenville.
Okay.
That's what actually goes to the budget officer over there for the levy of our taxes. This is in the format that they want. So this is just what gets submitted to the town.
Okay.
But she wanted to understand why it went from 300 to 260. And I just threw all kinds of neat stuff out at him. But that's exactly what the plan was. The plan was for it to go down to 250, but you'll also notice that the building reserve went up, you know, to 50. So,
right.
Initially.
Thank you.
All right, so I say information about the 300,000 decline to 260 on the estimate for apparatus reserve, right?
Yes, and that was all in accordance with the long-term capital plan. That was scheduled per the long-term capital plan. With apparatus replacement, whatever you want to call it.
That created a question for me. If
awesome.
You budgeted $10,000 for the sale of the old 230?
It's actually just sale of surplus equipment. The primary driver will be 230.
What happens if we receive $15,000 for that vehicle?
$10,000, well, we have a $5,000 surplus, obviously, because we budgeted $10,000, we'll have a $5,000 surplus. It'll be entirely up to the board, whatever they want to do with that extra
$5,000. We could actually move it in there if we wanted to, or allocate that somewhere else.
Well, again, we would do a budgetary amendment. We increase the sales of equipment by $5,000, and then decrease another revenue if we short somewhere, or increase an expenditure, anywhere you want to do that. I, of course, always... If we sell equipment, that's a one-time shot of revenue. That revenue should go towards one-time expenditures, major equipment purchasing, putting it into the reserve account accomplishes that. So if we sold it for 15, my original recommendation is always increase the appropriation of the apparatus reserve. Increase the revenue, increase the apparatus reserve appropriation. In the event that we need a major piece of equipment that's going to last 10, 15 years, then we could use that $5,000 to purchase a major piece of equipment that's going to be a long-term item also. You know, major one-time shots of revenue should not be used for operations. We should not be paying utility bills with it. That's all.
Thank you.
But again, you have the option to do whatever you want to with that money. I mean, you could absolutely pay the utility bill if you want. I would strongly object, but you can do that.
Thank you.
I mean, just like any other one of these items of revenue, if we generate more, like I have $500 for interest revenue because all the interest rates have tanked. They're starting to tick up now, so we're probably going to end up with more than $500 of interest revenue. That'll just be a surplus. And we can, if we find ourselves short on something, then we can just shore it up with the excess interest revenue.
Any questions? Any other questions?
Does the 2% cap piece... how does our not increasing the budget every year affect our ability to increase in the future? Does it have...
It absolutely has an impact because there's a provision in the tax levy laws where you're able to carry over prior year unused levy. You know, we're doing zero. We could have done, you know, 1.56%. So we're giving up, you know, some amount of money. However, the carryover is limited to either the actual amount that you've given, that the actual amount of carryover, or 1.5% of the prior year's levy limit. So 1.5% is certainly going to be a heck of a lot less than what we've been giving up with our 3 years now of zeros. So we are absolutely leaving money on the table.
Okay.
We are not able to get the benefit of all of that and still stay under the tax cap. We would then have to override the tax cap if we wanted to try to get all of that money back. There are limits to the amount of the carryover you're able to use. In this case, I mean, if you look at it, the unused levy for 2020 was $30,364, but the limitation is only $12,745, so we're basically $17,500 that has just gone away. We can't get that money now without overriding the tax cap. We could have used $12,745 of the prior year carryovers. That's it. So we're absolutely leaving money on the table. But again, we don't really need the money, so there's really no point in overfunding the reserves. I mean, some people, again, we got $1.1 million in the apparatus reserve. People would freak, you know, when they see that kind of a number. But if they see the long-term plan, they'll understand where every penny of it is.
Because you can only hold a certain amount.
In unrestricted, unreserved, we are limited to our policy, which is 6 to 8%.
Right.
The state law is a reasonable amount. We have defined a reasonable amount of 6 to 8%. And it's 6 to 8% of our total appropriations, which is $845,800. Mm-hmm. Okay, page one. So 6 to 8% of that number is what we have deemed is a reasonable amount. And that's where the $50,000 to $60,000 number came from that I brought up. Schools can only do like 4% of something. And, I mean, we can keep whatever we want in reserves, but we have to have a plan to show why we're accumulating all this money. And I have all kinds of...
That's just to protect the citizens, that you just don't keep taxing and then bankrolling all this money without any plan for what it's going to be used for.
Correct. And if you read a lot of these, I'm telling you, read a lot of these fire district audits from the state comptroller's office, you know, the fire districts that don't have these plans, you know, they have informal plans. You got to have formal plans in place. And again, I'm going to end up making it a point to make sure that the board adopts these long-term capital plans at our first meeting in January, just so you can see what I'm doing and why I'm saving the money that I'm saving, just so that you understand in case somebody comes up to you and is like, what the heck, you got over $1 million in this fund, you know, buy a fire truck. It's not time to buy a fire truck. Here's the plan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're certainly not saving money to pay cash for a new fire station someday. That's never going to happen. I wouldn't support that. That's going to be, you know, a bond. I mean, we're going to get a bond if we have to build a new fire station. We're only saving for major improvements on the major facilities that are in need of replacement. A building, that's going to have to be bonded. Anything else?
This policy is not having to purchase anything with cash if we've already had that money. It goes all the way back to when this was all started.
The philosophy of that.
I would have to look back. I don't know if we bonded the first ladder truck that we bought. I thought we did, but that was back in 1976 or something like that. But they also had to put a station addition on the old station in order. So I mean, there was a lot of expenditures related to that. But I think that they have always had the opinion that we want to pay cash for this stuff because I mean. Interest rates right now, I mean, now's a good time to borrow money, don't get me wrong. Now's a great time to be borrowing money, but we already have ourselves set up to not need to even incur 2-3% on our money. So there's just no point in doing that.
I'm just thinking about my father-in-law, because he was on the board, he's a chief, and then he's on the board, and I can remember him sitting there talking to Bernie and I about that, you know, that philosophy.
Sure.
So it was before...
But I think we've been paying, you know, cash for our apparatus for as long as I can remember. Certainly as long as I've been here, and I've been here 30 years almost. Mm-hmm. So it's a smart financial move. Again, it lessens the burden on the taxpayers. You know, people have an argument that, okay, you know, here we are taking this money from people and are not getting any benefit from it because it's just sitting in a savings account. You know, borrow the money, and then the people that are paying that debt are getting the benefit of that piece of equipment. I disagree wholeheartedly with that. Yes, we're taking the money from these people now, but as soon as we buy that truck, we're still the people that are getting the benefit of that truck are still paying for it because next year we're still taking that money from them. We're just not paying any more. We're not paying more than we need to. And again, we're really, really fortunate. You know, I mean, we're charging our taxpayers the smallest amount in the town of Glenville, and I think they're getting a heck of a deal. For what they're paying for.
When I first knew the whole family, met Bernie in college, when I came home, we had two new American friends.
The twins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had to have some money set aside for them.
Right. Sure. Clem, no question? You're the only one who hasn't asked.
I have one. Maybe I'll research myself. We always talk about the lowest fire tax rate in the town of Glenville. How are we compared to the rest of the departments in the county?
That's a real difficult thing to measure because their equalization rates are lower, and they're all over the board. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they may have a, you know, a 50-cent, you know, per thousand assessment, but their rates haven't been, you know, increased to full market value. That's the problem that you have with any of these things. I think our equalization rates, I mean, in the starting to get down into the 80s at this point in time. But I would like to look at it more from a dollar levy type perspective with a comparable sized population and size fire district, like say a Carmen or a Rotterdam District 2 or South Schenectady. You know, they're very similar in size, I think, to us. I wouldn't want to compare us to like Pattersonville and Rotterdam Junction because those are tiny, tiny areas, but they have a different equalization rate. The whole county is not the same equalization rate. Each town has a separate one, so it's very, very difficult to really compare them.
I was looking at was for where do we find that next another department that we can compare those apples to.
You know, I could probably go through and do a calculation, but I'm not sure how easy that information is accessible. But the other towns have different equalization rates, so their assessed values are all over the board. You know, the whole county would have to do a reval at the same time and all be at 100% in order to be able to put that as apples to apples. I mean, Niskayuna, for instance, has a non-homestead rate versus a homestead rate. The commercial properties are taxed at a higher rate than the residential properties. We don't have that in Glenville, so it's really tough to compare them.
Has our income gone up as more businesses have come into our fire district?
No. Our income is $819,300. What we do with the new businesses that are coming in, the only income effect it has is it possibly lowers the rate per thousand. As our assessed values go up and our tax levy stays the same, the tax rate per thousand will then go down. We haven't had a real swing in our assessed values since probably the Rudy Chase Drive apartments, because that was all built. Hampton Run was built. Target was built all in the same basic time frame, and we got this huge, massive bump. And then it's just been pretty stagnant since then. And, I mean, they're doing some commercial development right now across from Target. They're going to be putting in a new strip mall and medical facility or something where this old apartment house was.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be a huge, huge jump.
I told it was Chipotle, and now it's an urgent care.
Well, no. Chipotle's in that, too.
Oh, is it?
Well, yeah. They eat the Chipotle and then they got to go to urgent care. You know, it's right there, one stop shop.
Not for me, it's my children.
But I mean, that's what.
Is there Chipotle really going in there?
That's what I heard. I mean, that's part of the plan. But again, yeah. That's going to be something that's going to increase, obviously, the assessed value of those properties.
Okay.
You know, right now they're probably in the hundreds of thousands, and that's probably going to bump it up to millions because it's going to be such a brand new, nice, beautiful commercial thing. But then we have the owner of the lot that has all these on it. And they're fighting right now to get a reduction of their assessment. So there's a lot of ups and downs. We're pretty built out here, you know, in our fire district. There's not an awful lot of area to build new stuff, you know. And when they're doing these betterments, you know, and tearing down and building new, you know, it's not going to have that huge of an impact.
But when you think over the last maybe 10, 15, I mean, when you go down Route 50, it looks so different than it used to look. I notice it more when you drive at night. You know, the Applebee's is there, and now you've got Aldi's. And
right.
I mean, it just seems like there's a lot
right.
more. The Panera came in, built a place.
Yep. Again, but that was all done in a similar
in
time. And we had a nice big jump in our assessed value, and now everything's just sort of been
kind of
leveled out, and it's going to stay pretty stagnant. I just don't see it moving all that far because, again, we're pretty built up now. What's
right
that?
Next to McDonald's on Route 50.
Oh.
Yeah.
You see they cut down trees and
oh,
it's like they're putting in sewer pipes or drainage pipes or
sure.
something.
So the tax guy's gone and
no, the tax guy I think was still there. He's always a part of that. That's not the apartment. The one next to the PayPal or Pay Prep or whatever that was
and
called.
And then the dentist was next to that. He's gone out of business.
Right. Well, that's part of the project. And, then,
that
and there's also a long term going all the way over to Burmaster's Farm. So it's going to be a pretty significant building. And that's just being done in stages.
Mm-hmm.
So. But again, it doesn't have anything to do with our revenue. Our revenue is what we determine our revenue is going to be.
Right, right.
Now, here are the taxes that we need in order mm-hmm. to fund our operations. The impact of all of this development possibly is reducing the rate that people are paying. You know, like with this budget, I think I came up with a big whopping, if your house is assessed at $500,000, you're saving 91 cents. You know, you're paying 91 cents less. Again, that's just a real rough estimate. And that's just because you know, again, our assessed values are just, they're stagnant. They're not going anywhere. If we had a big jump in assessed valuation, then we would have been saving a little bit more. That's all.
Any other questions? Good answers. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And now the treasurer, if able to do so, will now answer the questions discussed during the public comment period.
I think I handled most of them.
Okay. Well, no, not the board comment, but the public.
Oh, sorry.
I have to read this.
There
was no public.
Well, Fun would be considered public. He's not a board member.
That's right. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Although he talked to us at the wrong time.
Oh, that is true.
Well, I prompted him. That was me.
Right.
No. I prompted him. That was my fault.
I already typed it in there. It's not coming out.
So if there are no more questions, then the public hearing regarding the 2021 proposed budget is declared closed. And can I receive a motion from a member of the Board of Fire Commissioners to close the public hearing?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And then
I got that. Just have to change the Larson one. Last time it was 7:35, 7:32.
We're efficient. So, Sue?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave is yes?
Yes.
Okay. And now I need a motion to set a budget adoption date, which I am hoping is October 20th. Okay. And I'm hoping that the time is 7:33, if that was the... Will anybody make that motion? Second.
Okay. So I'm just reading here. I have, before adopting the annual budget and after passing any resolutions necessary to override the tax cap levy, a form to the New York State Comptroller's Office now must be submitted by the Treasurer. And then I have, a special meeting has been scheduled immediately following the Commissioner meeting to approve the budget. So are we going, what's the next step?
We need that motion and second, which we just got, to set that meeting right after, the immediately following.
Oh, okay. We don't automatically just go into that.
No, not for, not for this.
So let me stand by.
We could be waiting for your yes.
Oh, because I have.
You
right.
Have to say yes for us.
I know. I'm typing. I'm going to make sure I got it. All right. So we had a motion to close the last one, right?
The motion to close the public hearing.
Got it. All right.
And
good.
Now we have the motion to make the meeting immediately following.
Well, the problem with that is you need the motion, you need to have a motion in a meeting before you close out the other meeting, no?
Not according to this book. I don't know.
How does that even work?
You had already scheduled the special meeting anyway. That,
yeah,
was, part,
yeah.
That was part of the, right. The notification of the paper.
Right.
This special meeting that's occurring,
yeah,
after this is already established.
So you don't need a meeting or a motion to start a meeting, no?
No, I guess not. But I'm just reading the way that it's set up here.
All right. Because this is just screwing me up on my end.
I was trying to.
The template isn't working.
I was thinking that I followed what it said here last year, and it would make it easier for you, actually. So we have our next meeting.
I have a special meeting scheduled immediately following permission being approved the budget for Trump. Ooh. All right. That one's done.
Okay.
And I will say yes to the. Let me scroll down to the next part. So how would that motion read? Amendment passed to
the budget adoption date. The motion to
set
the budget adoption date.
Date of October 20th, 2020.
Immediately following the other meeting. question to you, Ross, would be when you get to it, the meeting immediately following the budget hearing, how did we start that off?
We just, it just goes into it. There wasn't a pledge or anything.
I don't think we...
It says meeting is called to order. Purpose of the meeting is to adopt the budget for next year. There's some notes in here about, like, based on submitted figures, EGFD will be lowest rate in the town. In this case, there are a couple resolutions. There was an adjustment for decreasing, so this may be where that 1% comes into.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this case, they decreased contingency and increased the LOSAP for this one. And then right after that, a motion to adopt and amend the budget for the proper year. So
our meeting to set budget adoption is open. And now any motions for to make changes to the budget are open.
That's what I can do.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I make a motion that we add a cost of living increase to our employees of 1%.
Second.
Where would we take that out?
Well, when I discussed this with Beth, what my plan was is the monthly employees, secretary, deputy treasurer, treasurer, and statistician, those are listed in their very specific, very fixed salaries. What my plan was to increase those by the 1% and then reduce either the station keeper, which is an estimate. You know, we budgeted 17,000, put that down to, in my calculation, 16,847. Because, I mean, he doesn't necessarily come up with $17,000 of wages. In 2019, he only had $14,927. As of September 24th of 2020, he only had $10,900 of wages. So it's not like he's paid salary of $17,000.
It changes.
It changes, and it's based on how many hours he works. So my proposal is I was just going to increase the monthly salaries because that's all they're going to get because it's an annual salary. Leave the administrator salary at the 23,000 and just adjust the station keeper down by the 153 bucks to 16,847 because, again, that may be enough to cover it. And what ends up happening, I mean, if he ends up working more hours, again, we have a contingency fund of $20,000 and we can... You know, when we find that we're going to be exceeding these limits, then we can amend the budget, you know, next October, next November, whenever this may happen, to increase those salary lines or, you know, try to keep an eye on it and try to keep them within those numbers, keep the administrator within the numbers of the 23,000.
Because if he's going over what we talked about initially, he'll always call to say, you know, I'm already at this amount, and I usually approve it if we've got something going on here that he needs to be doing, because it evens out.
Right.
There are some weeks, as you know,
sure,
that are less.
Yeah, I mean, some weeks are like the one he was helping with the floors. I mean, I get that completely.
Right.
You know, but there's times where he's only here for an hour or something like that because nothing needs to be dealt with.
Right.
So,
then the 1% that would the change in the budget would be LOSAP and the treasurer.
No, I'm not doing it. Secretary, deputy treasurer, statistician, and treasurer.
Right, and yeah.
Those would be the four that I would be changing. What we have in this budget right now is we have secretary, deputy treasurer as a single line. I think we don't want to do that. I think we probably should have those as separate lines, only because they are two separate positions,
mm-hmm.
and you may not be able to get someone to take both of those positions when you actually hire somebody. They may not actually take both of those spots. Regardless of what your intent is, you may not be able
right.
to fill that.
Oh, sure.
So I do want to have those as two separate lines. So I'm breaking the $2,940 out to what the $2,940 would have been was $2,573 and $367, and that's based on when Angel had just the secretary title, and then she was given the deputy treasurer title, and then increasing it based on what we had going forward. That's what those numbers would work out to. So basically what I have is the treasurer was $7,956, 1% is $79.56, so I rounded up to $80. So the treasurer's line would be $8,036. The secretary's line was $2,573. 1% is 26, which would make 2599. I made it 2600 just to make it even. The deputy treasurer was 367 plus $4 was 371. I rounded that down to 370. Statistician was 4284 plus $43 would be 4327. I left that as a fixed number. And then the station keeper would be 16847, and station administrator would remain at 23,000, still for a grand total of 55,180 as originally adopted. It's just, again, the individual titles are jumbled a little bit.
So when we interview for these jobs, what do we tell them per hour? Because that's how the station administrator is paid.
Well, that's up to you. Again, $23,000 is the annual gross wages to pay. So $23,000 divided by, I can't remember what the heck we're paying.
Was it 24 hours?
It was 1740 or 1750.
Let's just do 1750 for kicks. That's 1314 hours divided by, 1314 divided by 52. That's 25 1/4 hours per week.
So
at 1750, it's 25 1/4 hours.
So we would be within our budget to offer that at 1750 when we interview.
If you're doing 24 hours a week, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about the secretary?
The secretary's salary of $2,600 a year.
Okay.
So divide that by 12, that's how much you get per month. That's $312 a month.
Okay.
And again, you know, if we need to change these numbers, then that's going to be a much larger process as far as budgetary adjustment. Mm-hmm. Now keep in mind, we're still going to have unrestricted, unappropriated fund balance of between $57,000 and $67,000. So we could just appropriate fund balance to cover that. Just keep in mind, going forward, that might put us into a situation where we may have to raise taxes in subsequent years.
Well, the other thing is, too, we don't know when we're going to get somebody to replace this. In the meantime, we're not paying salaries.
Right, I understand that. And again, that's going to be found money that is going to go stay in the fund balance setup. You know, we're not going to, you know, but the alternative is going to be finding somebody who won't take less than $20 an hour to be an administrator, too. You know, that may be a problem. You know, you may not be able to find anybody for less than $20 an hour. I'm just throwing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm just throwing that out. You know,
yeah.
So that may create a different problem.
Right.
Right. I'm going to have to leave it to you to be able to see what is actually out there. I truly don't know. I have no idea what people will work for. You know.
Well, it seems like nobody's beating down our door.
Right. So these are numbers based on what we've been paying historically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have to bump these numbers up, we have to find the money. We have a contingency of $20,000, which is there for unanticipated, unexpected expenditures. You know, if we have to pay somebody an extra $3 an hour in order to do that job, was not anticipated. You know, so, but again, we're going to have unrestricted fund balance. And again, I'm also anticipating that we're probably going to have a carryover this year. Even though our vehicle repairs are going way over budget, we have the contingency that's offsetting that. We have other lines that have been underspent. You know, workers' compensation, those type of utilities.
When I was looking at the line item, I couldn't believe how...
It's incredible how much we've saved.
Really,
and again, it's all because of... I think it's because of these lights, but this year also because we had the building shut down
yes.
for periods of time. So,
but it was really an unbelievable amount of money when I looked
right.
at it at the meeting last night.
And that's reality. I mean, I'm getting those
that's
bills,
great.
And that's what it is. So
that's
going to be an area where we're going to have a surplus in the 2020 budget.
I came in the other morning and a lot of lights were left on.
If I'm here, every one of them's turned off.
I went
guaranteed.
Around the building and I shut everything
yeah.
down. The bar room was on, the officer's room was on. I know we usually leave the hall light on, so...
Well, not really. There's some that are fixed on.
Oh, but there was a lot of... I came at like 8:30 in the morning, and there were lots of lights left on,
yeah.
so... But I really was amazed at how much under budget we were.
I'm just saying, that may be another source of money if
yeah.
we have to end up... paying people more to do these jobs if we're not able to fill those positions.
Right.
But again, that's only going to be a one-time shot with this carryover money. we're still going to have to consistently find that money going forward. And again, it's going to depend on what we find, who we find, mm-hmm. and what they're willing to accept as far as compensation.
So we need that motion to move.
It's just jumbling up those numbers.
So we're not going to move anything.
Yes. All I've got is a motion for a resolution was made by Commissioner Larson, seconded by Commissioner Thornhill, and well, once we pass it, to provide a 1% cost of living adjustment for paid employees.
Right.
1% increased cost of living adjustment
right.
for paid employees.
And the only
and
impact on the budget.
Say for 2021.
Correct. And the only impact on the budget is the fact that I have to have those individual positions identified to give to the town, and it's also individually identified on our budget copy. So, again, the way that I changed those numbers was as I've already discussed. And again, I'm separating
that within the resolution. So those positions are
treasurer, secretary, deputy treasurer, and LOSAP statistician. Those were specifically increased by 1%, and then I reduced the station keeper slash maintenance person, reduced his estimate by that dollar amount, $153.
Okay. So I have those positions are treasurer, secretary, deputy treasurer, statistician.
Yeah, those are the ones that are
station
actually.
Keeper.
No, those are the ones that are actually being increased by the 1% on the budget document.
Right, but everybody's getting the 1%.
Correct. Brad's going to get a 1% raise, and the station administrator, I don't know what we're going to do. At this point in time, we're not really giving the station administrator a 1% raise because we don't have one.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be whatever is negotiated in your interview process. It's going to be whatever you agree to. You're not going to agree to it, and then I'm giving them a 1% raise. That's not the intent here, I hope.
No.
Okay.
So, Sue?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dave, is a yes?
Yes.
I thought you had it typed. Your fingers snapped, so.
I did.
And just so you understand, the only other thing that I'm going to be changing on here, what I sent to the town was before I realized that I was going to be reducing the building reserve allocation from $50,000 to $45,000 and increasing the equipment reserve allocation from $20,000 to $25,000, and that was based on the emergency escape systems that are going to be due in 10 years. We were putting additional money into that line to provide funding for that in addition to a couple of other items. So we had adopted the budget based on 45 and 25. That was the split for the equipment reserve and the building reserve. What I sent to the town was the old 20 and 50. So I will be changing that in addition to the numbers for the payroll numbers in what I give to the town. And I'll probably do that tomorrow or the next day. It's due to the town by November 4th. Our overall budget doesn't change, so my boss isn't going to care.
Okay.
He just wants to put the $819,300, the $845, the revenues, and the $819. But the format is changing a little bit, and I'm just going to give him the modified numbers.
Actually, it's November 7th.
Whatever. Early November. How's that?
Yeah. Any?
Thank you, Jeff.
What are you looking for?
The uniforms to the chief's budget?
I probably did not.
Is that sitting here? It looks like it's under still under the district administrative.
Firefighter dress uniforms, $3,000, still under admin. I think that's just a clerical change, so I'm not going to be terribly concerned about that.
Yeah, it does change the end number, just
right.
Count line.
So that's going to go to the chief, then you'll make the decisions about how to spend it. So you'll be buying the badges from now on.
Well, we still end up.
We have to approve it,
yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
But if we're out of the uniform business.
Not really.
Not really.
You are what you are.
You'll come
yeah.
to the board and say, I need
just
two new dress uniforms,
correct.
And we'll say yes or no,
right.
but
right.
we don't have to have anything to do with it after that.
The change will be you'll be hearing it from the chief instead of the president.
Correct.
And this will allow it to be better, hopefully better tracked with the systems we have in place and be more like the issue gear.
Right
now, there seems to be not a lot of accountability for those items. We're hoping to get a better accountability on that the hope is to certainly retain some of that.
What I'll do is I will renumber that line to have it be up in a chief's line. Again, that's just a clerical change. I don't see that as anything that we really have to amend in the budget. It's just going to be a positioning. Thanks for bringing that up, though, because I'd totally forgotten about that.
I did, too.
Do you want that in the meeting minutes? It's a clerical thing.
Well, you can absolutely put it in the minutes, because then I can read the minutes and remind myself that I really got to do it. I mean, because I will change historical trends, because I'm not going to take the ones from this year and prior years and then put that up into the chief's budget to see the trend for the chief's budget. His budget's now just increased by $3,000. And ours has been reduced by $3,000.
That darn chief has spent all that extra money.
Oh, yeah, I'm so looking forward to that. The badge discussions.
No, actually, what I was thinking is future chiefs are going to be so happy with you.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're going to go, oh, this is it. Never was like this before.
We didn't happen to get back any of the two member background checks.
I have on my list. Yes, if we two things for the district. Yes, I have all three back.
Oh, okay.
But two were only presented, so I have a third one that they'll present next week, but I did receive all background checks.
Did we want to vote?
Because we can absolutely vote on this.
Yeah.
So it's an official meeting.
We can do that tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we'll be
good. You got them back, but were they good?
They were good.
I didn't hear a result.
Yeah, no. Just put on the application the little thing there for suit size, inseam on the pants, and waist. Save yourself a lot of time.
Do we have those sheets?
I can print them off. I have them on email. They email them to me.
No, the actual names of the
you can give us the names.
Was Eric Puffer and
Eric Puffer and Sage Balsta for us?
Yeah. Hooked on Phonics. That's how I have to do that. Very long last name.
That's right.
Well, before we do that, do you want to, because we still need to adopt the budget officially.
Yeah, we could finish this, but as long as he's got the information.
Yeah, no, let's not adopt the budget. I mean, we're all done until we get it. I got to press a button before we adopt
it.
Press a button?
Yeah.
He's got
to send it to the
state.
I got to send it to the state.
He's got to finish it.
What if he presses the button and then we don't adopt it? Let's see what happens.
Okay, well then, why don't we, while we're here, then we could vote on the prospective two new members.
Do you have the third one at all, or do you?
The third one's not presented to the company yet.
Oh, okay.
So that next month it'll be back on track, and hopefully the president will present a full packet for the third person.
Got it. Perfect. So we need a motion.
On the third person, yeah.
Are you? Did you review the packets? Did you see the people that are being we're voting on? Okay. You don't know anything about any of them.
No. Just a discussion for a different meeting.
Okie dokie.
I just would like to see whenever we have new members come in, whether it's a new member board, we post their name, their address. Fun fact about the membership, see them, you know, kind of hear about them at our company meeting very briefly, quickly.
You're logging me out again.
Yeah, we had, I know years ago we had changed it because it used to be a 3-month process.
Yeah.
I'm sure that could get.
And like something didn't come in, so it'd get longer.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's because it used to be you did your application. Your application then went to the kind of got brought up at a meeting. It got posted on the board for a month, and then at the next meeting after it was presented, is when it got voted on. So it was effectively 3 months at least before you got it. And I think we were running low on people at one point, so I may have been a part of that. We need to squeeze the process a little bit, but we may have. with good intent, may have done more harm than good. Although I don't think we've done a lot of harm.
Yeah, but harm,
I can tell you that in starting in 2006 and not getting in until 2007, and there's two other gentlemen that you could ask about it, who are actually both chiefs right now, that we all came in together, it took us over a year to get in.
Oh,
jeez.
Because something didn't come in.
No, the application set in the membership committee is what I was told for almost 10 of those months. And then once it got brought out, then it was about 2 months after that we were
at.
Yeah.
And some of that depends on personnel, too.
Yeah.
When you're waiting for other people.
Yeah. I would say who's around, who's not around handle those things.
That was a long process.
That took an application tonight. It's already been scanned and emailed to the membership committee, and I already have it set up to be back to over the morning for background.
For this third one.
What I had to submit was our tax capability notification. That's what that is. It's got nothing to do with adopting the budget.
We should change it now. Let's go over the tax cap.
As I recommend to everyone, if you're going to break it big.
That's right, because you only get to...
If you're going to break it big. Take one hit and be done.
Okay, so then if that's done, then we can adopt the budget then now to get that out of the way. Would anybody like to make a motion to adopt the budget?
So moved.
I'll second that. I don't think my name's on it. Would you say last night it'll prove I was here?
That's what I'm trying to.
And Sue?
Yes. Yes.
Dave's a yes?
Yes.
Done. We would need a motion to vote on the new prospective members upon successful completion of a physical.
Correct. Move this down. Do you have their proper spelling of their names or no?
Eric Puffer, P-U-F-F-E-R.
Are we going to do individually or combined?
We can do them together.
I think we've combined them.
Combined?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And Sage, right?
Sage, and then it's B-A-L-T-R-U. S-A-I-T-I-S.
You are going to have a competition.
Yes.
Awesome.
I should have kept going.
I think it's Bellatoris. Bellatoris. Yeah, I don't know how to
ask. So it's B-A-L-T-R-U-S-A-I-T-I-S.
Yeah.
Hooked on phonics, just sounded out.
And he's the one from 9 Judy.
Yeah, correct.
And I believe that's a relative of, who the name is escaping me, we had the past member's funeral this year.
Madeline.
Descendant of Madeline.
Oh, Madeline?
It's somehow tied into the family, yeah. And there's so many of them, I don't know.
He's going to say she only had 37 kids.
They all live right there around me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, do we have a motion to?
I make a motion to accept their membership.
Second.
Just watching his fingers. Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Dave? Yes.
Yes.
Did we have any other any business that we needed to complete?
I just have one thing so the board knows there's a vehicle, a Toyota parked in the back lot. That is actually a vehicle that was donated to the fire department to use for training. So I met with the gentleman today. I have the title, the registration, and the keys for that. He signed everything over. I'll just be typing up the letter and giving it to him, explaining that it was a donation, but that's why it's back there so you can see a car with no plates on it. I think we're good for this week and next week, so maybe there for a couple weeks. But it is drivable, but the repairs are more than you can take it to the junkyard, and someone suggested bringing here for us to use.
Nice.
Yep.
I left you a message today. I know you were busy. But I gave you dates that Mr. Help wanted to come in and do the tiles and the rugs, and just take take a look at it whenever and tell me if there's any of them that are bad. I just didn't want to conflict with anything you had going on.
Okay.
And it's all after, I haven't given you the dates after the election because we're going to have all kinds of stuff in here. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we needed that.
Perfect.
So I think, and the reason I called you is because there was like six different dates that he gave me.
Okay.
So whenever you have to, no rush.
Back to you tomorrow.
Yeah, no rush. I think he comes in usually in one day. He's going to do the rugs, not the meeting room, because that or the rec room. And he does the all the upholstered furniture, and then he does the four bathrooms, the tile, and then he does the two showers, tile. So he usually does it in a day. He might split it up in two.
Did you have something?
Yeah, I want to let you know I'm probably going to end up revisiting this New York class. Investment opportunity that I basically poo-pooed. I sent you all information on it, and then I just said the interest rates had tanked, so I wasn't really interested. The rates have doubled this month, so it's getting up close to, and currently right now, higher than our U.S. T-bill rates. So I'll probably want to revisit that again at our next meeting. We have to actually apply. We have to pass resolutions to allow them as one of our investment banks type thing, you know, like a bank.
So
I just want to give you a heads up. What?
You're attending a class?
No. That's the name of the place, NY Class. And it's they invest in nothing but New York. I sent you an email on that, and then everything just tanked at New York Class. And I said, I'm not even going to waste my time with it. But now things are going back up. I had gotten a hold of my guy out in Cleveland. The T-bill rates for 1 year is 0.1, and that's basically what their rates are here. And if we buy a one-year T-note for 0.1, that's what we're getting. We're getting 0.1. This has an opportunity to possibly increase. And I always looked at this as a good investment on an increasing interest rate environment. If things start tanking again, we can take the money out at any point in time.
Without a penalty?
No penalties. If we try to cash out a treasury bill early, mm-hmm. then you know we're at interest rate risk, depending on what the actual market is. So this looks like it may be time to look at it again, and I may end up just calling Bill Young just to see if he can say yes, he's heard of it, yes, it's fine. I'm not going to have
that's him. A good idea.
What's that?
I would think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that he's familiar with it. I have a whole list of the clients that use this, and they have fire districts, that are close by here that actually use it. So I'm confident that it is. I'd just like to get him to just give me a quick nod on the phone. So I'll probably bring that up at the November meeting because we have to pass, a resolution to allow it. And then, we can set up as many accounts as we want, some accounts as we want, and we do have a lot of investable funds, with our reserve money. And if we can make more, that's more is better. Just want to give you a heads up on that. So.
Okay.
Okay. We filled out the property exemption form.
Oh, yes. And
saying that we're still exempt, and I will be delivering that.
And I have a copy
tomorrow.
I made a copy. I know that you're sort of keeping the rest of it.
Jeff, how did you do with that one for the
Christmas Santa and Friday Santa thing? The what? I haven't done that yet. I have to get a workers' compensation certificate. I'm concerned with the disability insurance certificate because we don't have one, and I don't necessarily have a statement that we're exempt. That's the only thing that concerns me right now. The workers' comp ones, I just got to pull off the wall of the apparatus bay. I just haven't done yet. I didn't get out of here until almost midnight last night.
The thing that we filled out for the town, for the assessor, when you read that, it says that it's a yearly. It says that it's something we were supposed to be filling out yearly, and speaking with Jeff, he felt that maybe it was just caught that it hasn't been done. So this may be a form that we're filling out every year.
One of these guys?
Yeah. And again, I'm not sure if
I might know somebody who might have information on that.
Yeah. Well, me too.
Oh, okay.
Who do you know?
His wife.
This is a New York State tax form.
Well, it's not income taxes, though. That's
my wife covers a large...
Wide swath.
She is no longer just income tax. She moved up in the world.
See, I'm thinking that the assessor's office, since we had a change in the assessor's office, that they just had failed to send this out. I don't know that we voluntarily are supposed to be filling this out. I think that this would be based on a reactive. They send us, an application, we fill it out, send it back. I don't think that we're supposed to be going out of our way to fill this thing out.
What's nice about it is it's a no harm, no foul, no changes. We're still tax exempt. Right.
I mean, my boss was going through all the real property records trying to find the properties that were exempt to make sure that it made sense to him that they would be exempt. You know, a person with a $300,000-$400,000 house has never paid fire tax in the entire 10, 15 years he's lived there.
Oh, we want to hit those people.
No, they were in Buchanville. I don't care.
Oh. Do we have any of those here?
He was looking. I don't think he found anybody in East Glenwood. That wasn't appropriate for them to
be. It's our money, and we want it.
I just want them to pick up the junk in my yard. You know, Ross? Did you take care of that today, like I asked you?
I did not.
Crap piled up. They're going to come by and tell me I got junk in the yard again.
So you got to call him, because if Ross calls him, then I'm going to have to deal with the workplace violence issue. Because he's going to come up to me, you've got to put a leash on that door now. I can already hear it.
He's my connection guy.
Take that out of the minutes. That's not part of the minutes.
This part?
No, my leash on.
I didn't make it in there yet.
So, if we have nothing else, then I think we're good until November. Maybe we can get some extra interest in November, which would be good. Yeah, we'll see. And hopefully not too much goes askew in the next month.
Our last big T-bill matures November 5. Was bought last year, so we're getting nearly 2% of a hit. That's going to be a beautiful thing, but then that's it.
So I would need a motion to adjourn.
I'll need a motion, so be it.
I'll second that. Sue?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Me? Yes.
Yes.
Just remember, Ross, if it snows and my junk is still out there? Of my property, piled up in a snowbank along with the leaves that they never pick up.
That's happened.
I know. Two years in a row we've had it the last 2 years. Yeah. And then they come by in the spring when it's all frozen and wet, and they're shoveling it in the truck, and two guys are standing there watching while the other guy shovels it in.
That's how it works.
That's what you get.
Yeah. This probably is a new guy.
Gotta make sure the new guy knows how to shovel.
Yeah. Yesterday they were down my street.
Were they picking up all?
No, trimming trees.
That wasn't the town, wasn't it?
Splendo. Yeah, they cut for the power company.
Yeah, that's exactly not the town.
Oh, that's what they're doing?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Our supervisor
put it on Facebook, which I don't ever go on or use, but my neighbor said to me, let's get all this stuff out to the front of the house. They're going to come by and pick it up. Well, me, I thought that meant Tuesday. They're going to come right to my house and pick it up and take it away.
You sound like every other taxpayer.
I don't care.
Just saying.
I wish I would have kept track in the years that I've lived here how many years they have not picked up our leaves. And the snow comes.
Well, the worst part about it is they come through your neighborhood in October. Nothing's falling.
Okay, absolutely.
That's what's happened to me a million times.
Yeah.
We've already been through there. It's like, I don't have any leaves on the ground. Or yet.
Nobody even had a pile of leaves out. Oh, and they're going up the road looking here. What the hell are you doing here? And then when you call the town, they go, well, we came through your neighborhood.
Exactly.
My neighbor's
right.
Going, there were no leaves down when you came.
The agenda was to adopt the budget.
Thank you for being in charge of uniforms.
Don't forget the badges.
Well, what I'm just thinking is that that's going to be because now the president has to come to the chief to get to request the chief to come to.
So you can be the bad guy and say no. They can blame the chief instead of the board. That sounds good. They do anyway, right, chief?
Broad shoulders.
That's right.
Broad shoulders.
Don't worry about the mule all the way.
Man. can't win, can you?
But again, it's just because I think we can put in that tracking system and have better accountability.
Because we just believe what they're going to tell us. We don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Excellent. Jeff, thanks for all your work.
Yeah,
welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for the good explanations, too.
Appreciate it.
Learn more every time. And I will, when you're ready for the, if we don't have somebody for reconciliation, I will take the hit on the four different pages that go into one.
Well, we have that in two situations.
Okay.
I'll give you Angel's notes. She gave me her notes file on how to do it. See if you can follow her notes.
Okay. I'll give it a go. I have the notes.
I mean, you know how to do the QuickBooks bank runs,
right?
You remember how to do the QuickBooks bank runs.
Or if I have notes.
Yeah, because it's the exact same thing. It's just
how do I even do my own checkbook?
With the commingled accounts, it's a little different.
I just check.
I have a spreadsheet that shows here's the bank balance, here's what's apparatus, here's what's building, here's what's equipment. So that's the bank balance for those specific bank accounts on the general record.
I want to duly note that I am returning this copy. No marks on, no writing. Because I have mine home in my office.
But you studied it, too.
I didn't pick it up. I did.
I know.
Don't laugh.
No,
you know that.
Sure you did.
You know that.
Just in case any taxpayers run in right now.
Yeah.
I want my copy.
Oh, are we
I said to Nels, I don't think this meeting will be too long. How many people complain about no tax increase?
When we had tax increases, nobody showed up.
Yeah.
Will
you be there?
In my tenure of doing these meetings, only one time has a taxpayer showed up.
Money then?
And it was my old boss at work. Because I told him, it's like, you know, do your civic duty.